It's been 100 years since Ireland's most travelled document came to be. That's the Irish passport, of course. Today marks the launch of an exhibition by EPIC, the Irish Emigration Museum, entitled On the Move, A Century of the Irish Passport. It'll showcase the rich history associated with the passport, as well as the personal stories of millions who've used it to travel around the world. One of whose stories will feature is Zach Moradi, the former Leitrim hurler and author, originally from Kurdistan. He told our reporter Sheila Nocton about his journey to Ireland and getting his passport.
Well, we're originally from Kurdistan. Kurdistan was divided between four different countries. So our people, close to 30 million Kurds, we were left stateless. Iraq Iran war started in 1980. And then my family became a refugee and we ended up in a refugee camp in Iraq. And then we ended up in Ireland as a political program refugee.
So then talk me through the journey or the process you went through to get an Irish passport.
It was actually, mine was a lot more difficult to get because I didn't have a birth cert. The day I was born, the Americans were bombing Iraq that night, so I was actually born in a tent. I never held a birth cert, so it was actually a longer process for me trying to get my Irish passport. But eventually I got it. You know, I was delighted. Obviously, it's the only passport I hold. I don't hold any other passports or any other nationalities. It's not straightforward. You know, I think it's a lot more easier if you hold another nationality passport, because I don't really have a nationality. It was a lot harder, but eventually I got it. I got all my paperwork.
So now that you have the Irish passport, what does it mean to you to have that document?
It means where I belong, and kind of gives me an identity and a security. And you're treated equally in this country when you hold that, I think.
The lengths that Zach Moradi went to there to hold an Irish passport. He was speaking to Sheila Nocton. And for more on the work that went into this exhibition, we're joined by Catherine Healy, historian in residence at EPIC, the Irish Emigration Museum. Catherine, this is a great idea. Tell us a little bit more about how you developed it.
Thanks, Mary. So this is an exhibition commissioned by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade to mark a century since the introduction of the Irish passport. So we dug into archival records, into government records, and looked at how the passport came to be introduced in the first place shortly after the founding of the Irish Free State. Mm. The very first passports were issued to the Irish delegation that travelled to Geneva to seek admission to the League of Nations in 1923, and they were made available to the public then a year later. We look as well at some of the many ways a passport has changed. You know, if you look at the early passports, they're issued in the name of His Britannic Majesty. Ireland was still a British dominion at this time. That reference was eventually removed in 1939. And amazingly also, married couples often travelled on joint passports. That was a practice that continued right up until the early 1990s.
But of course, a woman wouldn't need her own passport.
Yeah, and of course the main holder was typically the husband. Yeah. And only the main holder was allowed to travel on it. So there's a lot of interesting social history tied to the development of the passport too, which we look at.
And you're talking about how it evolved over the years. Let's look at another evolution of the Irish passport, because your exhibition documents the changing look of the passport, which is, I suppose, one of the most significant would have been one many people will remember, the switch from the green cover to the burgundy, which was in line with other EU member states. And that happened back in the 1980s. Here's an RTÉ report by Mary Fanning. It was broadcast in November 1984 on people's thoughts on the change.
I prefer the old one. I think they should have that green as well.
But it's a common colour for the member states. Do you not think that's right?
In a way, but again, I think it should be sort of green, because I think of Ireland when I look at the old one.
I think it's very suitable. I think the smaller size is very convenient. I like the colour.
Now, what do you think of a sister?
Well, I'm sure it's very adequate, you know, but the only thing, I rather like the green there because, well, it's our national colour and it sort of gives that little bit of uniqueness, you know, to the Irish person in the European market.
Do you know, I think I still have my old green passport at home in a tin box somewhere. A lot of people were very attached to that passport, Catherine, and they didn't like the change.
That's right. There was quite a bit of opposition to it. And, you know, we launched a call out for public submissions to the exhibition, and we got feedback from right across the world. And it's amazing how many people have held on to that green passport that they emigrated on. People send us photos of their parents, their grandparents' green passports that they held on to many years after their death. So people have a really strong sense of connection to it as a family memento.
There are other stories as well. The stories of the marginalised as told to the passports.
Yeah, I mean, we're very conscious that, you know, the passport for a lot of people was a way out of a country that had really turned its back on them. You know, one of the things we look at is the fact that the children of unmarried mothers born in institutions, you know, used Irish passports to go abroad, to be adopted overseas. We have a copy of a passport issued to Brian Burke, as he was called when he was born in 1955, born to a single mother. He travelled to the US with his soon-to-be adoptive parents, and he used actually the details that he had in this first passport to trace some of his surviving relatives in Ireland then in more recent years.
You also have, and we'll probably end with this, I'm just out of time, the passports of some very well-known people, including W.B. Yeats.
That's right, yeah. This is one of the earliest passports included in the exhibition. It was issued to Yeats along with his wife in 1923 to allow them to travel to Stockholm to accept the Nobel Prize in Literature. Yeats was the first Irish winner of that prize. And again, you see the gender dimension here. Yeats is described as the senator of the Irish Free State, and poor Georgie has just a line through the space for her own occupation.
We were talking about Ballymena for all the wrong reasons this morning, but you also have a passport issued from there for the Irish writer Jan Carson.
That's right, yeah. Jan Carson, a novelist, she's based in Belfast now. She shares her story too. She was born into a Presbyterian family there in Ballymena. She was the first in her family to get an Irish passport. And it was a practical step for her, you know, post-Brexit, but also something that carried a lot of meaning, you know.
Well, you've got all the stories, you've got the passports. The exhibition runs now until the end of September. And Catherine, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Catherine Healy there from the Epic Museum at 2 minutes to 9.